It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Baseball is back.
He doesn't want a super spreader out there in the middle of the field.
The season is different. On the field, in the socially distant clubhouse, in the empty stands.
You guys wanted to do it. You've been wanting to do it for months.
There's a lot to talk about.
Who are you kidding? Don't give me all that bull crap.
And this is the place to do it. This is the Baseball Reporters with Tony Mass.
Brought to you by Big One Safety Insurance, Rodenheiser Home Services, Woodbridge Wines, Gravely, and Jackson Lumber.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Do you kind of find yourself in a one of those cycles where when you hit, you don't pitch, when you pitch, you don't hit. And sometimes even when, like tonight, you get a good outing from your starter, but the bullpen brings a leak. It seems like it's always something.
Well, it certainly is right now. And when you're going bad, that's how it goes. You just don't seem to click up on both sides, or your defense lets you down, or something happens, but we didn't swing the bats that well again. So hopefully we'll find that. We've got to figure this out. We've got a tough pitcher we're facing tomorrow. Figure out a way to beat him, and hopefully we get a well pitched game from Godley, and then try to figure things out to where we can get on a little bit of a roll. But we know we're playing some tough teams, so we know that if we play this way, we're not going to win many games, and it's hard. We've got to figure out a way to pitch well, and like you said, and to time it up with a good offense.
Forgive me for laughing. I have trouble taking this all with a straight face. So you listen to Ron Renneke there, and that's following last night's loss to the Rays. It was a close game until the seventh inning. And then the Red Sox bullpen, which is allegedly supposed to be the strength of the team, blew up in a ball of fire.
I happened to be watching it at that time, and boy, it was an implosion.
They end up losing 8-2, and the reason why I'm chuckling is Sean McAdam asking the question at the beginning, do you think you're in one of these ruts right now where when you hit, you don't pitch, when you pitch, you don't hit, you get a good game from the starter and the bullpen blows up, and Renneke says, yeah, that's the way it's been. You know what it's called? The whole season. The whole season has been that because they suck. That's what happens when you suck. You don't do anything well. You don't do anything consistently well. You suck at everything. Now, the most surprising part of it for the Red Sox is the fact that they have not produced runs on a regular basis. So, look, there are a couple things I want to get to through the course of the program tonight. Obviously, now, with the Bruins playing in the postseason, with the Celtics about to start the postseason, they're both back. The Patriots will be back before long. We typically are on every night at 6 o'clock, but it's going to be a little sporadic now. So if you want to talk baseball and talk Red Sox, now is your chance. I see a couple of you on the line already. I'll get to you momentarily here. But 617-779-0985. And we will take your calls on the Red Sox here over the course of the hour. So I was just looking at this, and I think it's worth mentioning. It's a 60-game season. The Red Sox, I believe, have played now 17 games, is it?
Correct, yes. They're 6-11.
6-11 in 17 games. Did you know, Jim Murray, that right now the Red Sox have the worst record in the American League?
I didn't. I knew they sucked, and I know some teams haven't played games because of COVID, but I didn't know that they were the absolute worst of the worst.
Okay, they are the worst of the worst. They are dead last in the American League, and just as impressively, they are 29th in the majors. They are second to last in the entire major leagues. Which means if the season ended right now, which we can say under these circumstances and actually have some meaning to it, because with COVID, you never know.
Sure.
The St. Louis Cardinals have played 5 games. Okay, they haven't played in like a week and a half. The Cardinals have a ton of games to make up. But if the season ended right now, the Red Sox would get the number 2 pick in the draft. They are only a couple of games behind the Pirates for the number 1 pick in the draft. And let me just tell you right now, it might not be long before I start putting some emphasis on this. Do you realize that in their history, the Red Sox have never had the first pick?
Really?
Never. They have never owned the number 1 pick in the draft, which actually makes some sense. Because if you think about it, in the last 50 years, they've always been pretty good. I mean, there are very rare occasions in there where they suck. Most years, they're pretty good. They had a couple of years where they finished last. But even then, when they do, they end up with the 7th pick. I can't ever remember them picking higher than 7. Benintendi was the number 7 right. pick. Trot Nixon, I think, was the 7th pick when they got him.
What was Clemens back in the day?
Clemens was a late first rounder. Okay, late first rounder, and some teams had passed on him. So all I'm telling you is that it might be something to keep an eye on. Okay, it might be, there's apparently, and I was just looking this up, the potential prospect in next year's draft, and that's a long way off. But as a right-handed pitcher at Vanderbilt, who's apparently pretty good. Okay, now I don't know if he is like franchise altering good, but it's something.
I'm sure
that
the Red Sox would screw him up.
Well, so there's that, Jimmy. There's always that possibility.
Who was the last pitcher they developed?
Okay, but this is a question I want to ask.
Buckholz.
Would it be worth finishing last for? Would you rather the Red Sox play better or have the number 1 pick?
Oh, have the number 1 pick.
Jimmy?
I'd rather them have the number 1 pick, but I have no faith they can develop the kid.
Okay, so that becomes it. But Bloom is here now, and in theory, this is what they should be able to do.
Yeah, based on this roster construction, that's gone well.
Okay, but this one's not totally on him, right?
You got to blame somebody, right?
It's just been venom all day.
Seriously, yeah. He's hostile back there, isn't he? Really? I don't know what's going on in Jimmy's life, but he is. He's hostile at the moment. But I sort of am reaching that point that maybe they're better off having the number 1 pick than why win games? I'd tank. Seriously, go into tank mode, especially if you're not going to hit. Which brings me to this. This is the second item I want to discuss tonight, and we may do this for the balance of the week, in fact. The overall performance or the overall quality of the product in Major League Baseball. And as I am watching today, the Bruins, for example, I sit here and go, and we had this discussion, Murray. Boy, the NHL playoffs feel like the NHL playoffs again, don't they?
Sure do, yeah.
Even without fans, even an 11 a.m. start. The game got postponed from last night because the first game went to 5 overtimes. But the hockey product, it's still fabulous. The NHL postseason hockey product is, you know, or the NHL postseason product, I should say, is absolutely off the charts good. Phenomenal entertainment value. Meanwhile, there's Major League Baseball. And so this is what I want to mention to you. And again, then I'll get to your calls. Just bear with me for a second. Did you know this year, the strikeout percentage in Major League Baseball has gone up again? Now, 23.4% of all batters strike out. That's up from last year, which was 23%. Right now, there are basically 4,200 and change strikeouts and 3,600 hits. Which means guys strike out more frequently than they hit. The Red Sox and the Blue Jays played a game over the weekend in which 11 consecutive batters struck out. Struck out.
That shouldn't happen.
Literally did not put the ball in play. Couldn't hit a ground ball to second or a pop up to third. 11 straight strikeouts. Right now, the overall average in Major League Baseball, and this is courtesy of Cam, our intern on the program, 235 would be the lowest batting average in Major League history for any season. And again, small sample, but remember that we're playing in the summer months, and the ball typically carries in the summer months. The summer months are hitters' months. 235, lowest in history.
What was it in the late 60s when they ended up screwing with the mound?
So it's the lowest since that year.
Okay. So
okay.
68.
And that was 68. Very good, Murray. And they did. They changed the mound that year. There are a lot of theories as to why this is happening. Batting average on balls in play, meaning when the ball is actually hit, is at an all-time low. So, you know what people are... two big factors for why... So think about it. The even when a ball is hit, it's turning into a hit less of the percentage of the time. There are two primary theories for this. One... is that the ball's not coming off the bat as fast. And this is true. Exit velocity average on average is down. Some ballparks, in addition to Arizona and Colorado, have added humidors this year. Do you know what one of those ballparks is, Murray?
Yeah, it's here. I just saw this the other day. I think it was Carrabba's or someone that had it.
Fenway Park.
Yeah.
Fenway Park now has a humidor, which I'm sure J.D. Martinez is thrilled about. So think about that.
Well, yeah, if he can't have his iPad, maybe this will help.
So there's something to consider. The Red Sox are getting pounded like they get pounded, and they've deadened the ball. Imagine what that pitching staff would be doing if they were playing with the Titleist like they've been playing in other years. So that is something to consider, that the Red Sox pitching staff is as bad as it is, despite the fact that they now have a humidor at Fenway Park. Maybe this helps explain why the Red Sox haven't hit quite like they have, although certainly the strikeout numbers are up. It is certainly something to consider. Here is the other reason that may account for the fact that batting average on balls in play has gone down, an average way down. Percentage of time that there are shifts for an at-bat is up to 35%.
They're just eating themselves. What are they doing?
Murray, last year it was 25.6. It's gone up 10% just this year. 2018, it was 17.4%. So from 2018 to now, the number of shifts has doubled. It keeps going up and up, which is another reason to outlaw the shift, because teams can't stop themselves from doing it. So again, here's my question for you. These are the two I want to discuss tonight, and probably will be throughout the baseball season unless there's some dramatic turn of events. One, if you're the Red Sox, are you better off with the number one pick? Murray thinks they are than trying to win games. Murray thinks they are, Jimmy Stewart thinks they are, and I think the same thing. I'd rather have the number one pick, because this team's got big problems in its player development operation. And number two, the quality of the product. It's getting worse. It's not getting better. It's getting worse. Fewer balls in play. When the balls are in play, the batting average is going down. There are more shifts than ever before. In fact, in the last 2 years, the number of shifts has doubled. All of that. Scary, scary times if you're a baseball fan in Boston. You can't even watch a game in another market because the quality sucks. Not that you're doing that much anymore anyway. John's in Duxbury. Go ahead, John. What do you got?
Hey, Tony. How are you?
Good.
I just want to say one thing. Thank you so much for introducing me to She's Gone. That was an awesome product that Jeff Fry was doing, so I bought myself the T-shirt. But real quick, so baseball is really one of the only sports I can think of where you don't have your best players coming up in the biggest situations. So you can think in football, any other sports, you have your best guys playing.
Okay, baseball just, is not like that. Yeah, just get to the point.
Yeah, so I think maybe one way we can do this is later in the inning, maybe you can pick what player you want coming up to bat or kind of in extra innings, you know. If you're the batting, pick your best players to come up.
Okay, so John, look, one thing I want to try to avoid is all these ways to fix it. To me, there's simple ways to fix it. We don't have to dramatically alter the game on the field, although I'm not against that. But the big thing is pace of play and balls in play. Pace of play and balls in play. Eliminate the shifts and get the pitchers working faster. How about we start there? John's at a car. Go ahead, John, on the Red Sox roster.
Tony, on the strike zone and the strikeouts that you were just mentioning, imagine if these umpires actually called the strike zone, how many strikeouts they'd be.
John,
there's no strike zone anymore and they can't hit the ball.
Well, John, I'll tell you what, oddly enough, and I haven't seen this anywhere, I'd like to find it out, in the games that I've watched, and not just Red Sox, I would say any baseball that I've watched thus far, and I've bounced around a lot, the Red Sox are hard to watch beginning to end. I feel like the strike zone this year is a little bigger. I do. I don't know if there's any data out there to support it, but I believe or I feel like more strikes are being called.
It might be a little bigger, Tony, but it isn't the lettuce to the knees. I think we can all agree there. Tony, I don't know about your thoughts, but other than Devers and Bogarts, Hyman Roth was brought here for one reason, to rebuild the minor leagues and to put an affordable roster together. Give him the number one pick, and this season is a loss even if you make the playoffs. You will get your lips slapped off by any one of the teams in the upper level. There is no reason to pursue this dead issue. Nobody cares this year. Nobody's watching the games. Nobody's in the stadium. They got a free ride for this, and they're still going to spite their own face because that front office is that dumb.
Okay, so look, I want the number one pick. Again, I want the number one pick. The Red Sox right now have the second worst record in baseball. Only the Pirates are worse. Pirates are 3-11, I think, or 3-13. The Red Sox are 5-11. They're in the running. They're in the running. One key injury, and you got it. You have a chance. So I'm not joking about that. I think it's something that, as a fan or as a follower of the team, internally they would never, I don't know how you would execute this, but I want them to consider that being the goal. I think they're in that rougher shape where they could use the number one pick, and they've never had it. They have never had the Red Sox, the number one pick in the draft, which I find incredible. As for the quality of the product, it is suffering throughout the game. Again, it's getting worse, and it's not exactly being played crisply at Fenway Park, even by the good players. A couple of developments with Andrew Benintendi that we'll tell you about next.
This is a baseball report. Talking everything baseball.
So if you're a Red Sox fan, here's what you think.
It's the Baseball Reporters with Tony Mazz on Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
What is he doing? That had to have been some of the worst base running I have ever seen. What was he thinking?
It's time for the Baseball Reporters' base running blunders.
Fair ball catches the short side fence. Araújo scampering in to score. Oh, that is terrible. Benintendi in a rundown, and he'll be tagged out.
That is embarrassing.
Verdugo had time to get down to second base.
I think he fell down. That's what happened, because there's no way he would have done that with an 8-1 game. See what happens on the backside here.
Right down the third baseline. Now let's see what happens. Oh, yeah, he does. He trips.
He still would have been thrown out of third.
He still might have been thrown out of third. You know, you're down this many runs.
Oh, yeah, he's
really
done. He was a dead duck.
Take the chance.
Dead duck.
Yeah, he can't take the chance.
That was last night. I don't expect that many of you were aware of what was going on at that particular point. Bottom of the eighth inning, Red Sox are down 8-1. Again, this was a 2-1 game after six. 2-1 game. Martin Perez kept the Red Sox in the game again. And so for those of you who want to rip high and bloom, I do think that he's getting a pretty good return on Martin Perez at the moment. And not that Perez has been great, but he gets them in the fifth or sixth inning, and they're in the game, which is more than you can say for most pitchers at the moment. The Red Sox then brought in Austin Bryce, who, again, is a nobody, and they had been getting a pretty good performance out of him up to now, and the Rays erupted for six runs. They made it 8-1, and that was the ball game. It was a complete debacle. And the Red Sox then get into the eighth. Araújo singled to right center. It's Jonathan Araújo, right? He is the Rule 5 guy. He's basically a minor leaguer, but guy like that, you should carry him now. His team's not going anywhere. So let him play. Benintendi got hit by a pitch. Alex Verdugo then singled to left. Benintendi was going to advance to third or try, which, again, in and of itself was stupid. So you're down 8-1. Araújo, I can't pronounce his name. I'm sorry. Araújo was going to score to make it 8-2. But why is Benintendi trying to go to third? What difference does that run make? You're going to need a three-run homer anyway. And you heard Remy and Eckersley say it there on the Nesson broadcast. He fell down on the way to third base, got caught in a rundown and got thrown out. J.D. Martinez then flied out, and Xander Bogaerts struck out, and that was the end of the inning. So now you're down 8-2. Not that the Red Sox are going to come back and win, because the real disappointment on this team this year is that they haven't hit either. I think they're 12th in the American League in runs scored. So for all of the problems the Red Sox have, really, the one you should be the most pissed about is the fact that they haven't hit. Because that's the one thing we know they can do. We know they can hit, and they're not hitting. And that, to me, is a give-up factor. I think you've got some of that going on with this team. I have a hard time believing it's the humidor, because the other teams that hit at Fenway can score. Of course, they're hitting against the Red Sox pitching staff when that goes hand-in-hand. But as it relates to Benintendi, he actually got a couple of hits last night. And he's out of the lineup tonight. And not only is he out of the lineup, he's on the injured list.
Yeah, 10-day IL, which I happen to think is an excuse. I mean, he's been playing like ass. He's hitting over just a hair over 100. He looks timid at the plate. I know he had some hits last night, but he's looked like a mess. He's making mistakes in the base pass. He's making mistakes misplaying balls in the outfield, he's a disaster. They're just sitting his ass out right now because he stinks.
Okay, so I rule out nothing. Here's what Ron Renicki said about Benintendi and the decision to put him on the IL before the game.
Last night when he fell down in between the base paths, he strained a right rib cage, and because of it, we're going to IL him. We had x-rays last night. There's nothing broken, but he's today he's going to get some more evaluations on how he's doing. So he's on the IL. We have brought up Ryan Weber to replace him.
Oh, good.
Just feeling that we're okay coverage in the outfield, and we could use the other arm.
You got that right. You could always use another arm.
So a 26-year-old hurt his ribs by falling like a klutz. I don't buy it. That's something that happens to someone my age in their 40s or like a 70-year-old man.
Or to me.
Yeah.
Now, believe it or not, I think there's some truth to it, and I'll tell you why. Because he actually got some hits last night. If he hadn't hit last night, Murray, I'd agree with you. But like and I don't know this. I'm just guessing. Okay, you could be right. You could be totally right. But the guy gets a couple of hits, and then they say to him, yeah, you don't look right. You know, we're gonna put you on the IL. I think they'd have done it the day before, but who knows? Who knows with the way things are going over there? Maybe they've come to the same conclusion that I have. You know what? Let's sit Benintendi. He's a little banged up. He's not playing great, and we need the number one pick. So let's get as many bats out of the lineup as we can. Maybe that's what they're doing. I have no idea. I'm just telling you that. To me, you know, them being this bad is inexcusable. It's inexcusable. But since they're going to be this bad, you might as well go for the number one pick. That's what I would do.
Get something out of it.
Oh, God, absolutely. Tom and Quincy. Tom, what do you got?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, Tony, the problem with Benintendi going on the IL about his ribs is because they can't name it because he's got something wrong with his effing brain, okay? So that's the first thing. Secondly, you open up a roster spot, you bring back, of all people, Weber. Dude, he blows so bad, I can't even stand it. Like, the fact that they're like, well, yeah, we could use another arm. Yeah, not his, though. Not his. Renicki, what are you doing?
Oh, like, Tom, listen, the pitching staff's a disaster. It's a disaster. And I happen to agree with Renicki on this one. Who do they have that's better than Ryan Weber? Who do they have? Who? There's nobody down there. They get nothing. The pitching staff smells. It's atrocious. Dante's in Linfield. Go ahead.
Hey, Tony. So you read my mind about the picks. So the top two prospects in the country are actually both from Vanderbilt. They're the kid Kumar Rocker that you mentioned, and Al Leiter's kid, who's actually also a stud. I'd be thrilled to have either of those guys. I think they should be in full-on sell mode. I think moving Martinez is something they really need to consider at this point, considering his opt-out. But, yeah, I mean, playing for the number one pick, I would be thrilled because, you know, if there's one thing Vanderbilt, we know about Vanderbilt, you know, they probably produce more front-end pitching than probably any other place in the country.
Okay, so Dante, look, I don't know much about the kids at Vanderbilt. Again, I know that the kid who's projected to be number one is at Vanderbilt, and I saw that he had some command issues as a freshman, and that always scares the crap out of me. Now, apparently he's refined some of that, but the guys who can't throw strikes scare the crap out of me.
And one is Al Leiter's kid. It's just something else makes me feel a million years old.
So, now, I don't know much about Leiter's kid, but I'll tell you what. You know, if he's left-handed and has a good arm, I would think about it. Leiter, to me, when he was on, was good.
Well, he was.
And I believe in that whole genetics thing, you know, bloodlines. So I would like to, you know, I would like to see it. And it's hard to know at this stage. There's plenty of time yet. But if Leiter's kid's in there, if I'm the Red Sox, tell you what, if there were two coming out of there, get the number two pick. I'm fine with that. Right now, they have the second worst record in baseball. Just suck. Suck bad enough so you can get a pitcher at the top of the draft. Paul's in Bridgewater. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, absolutely, Tony. I agree. It's trash right now. Like, it's like embarrassing to watch. And if you're going to be this terrible, you might as well get something out of it. Like, I'd sell everything that isn't nailed to the floor along with tanking the season. Go down in a glory of flames, and hopefully you get somebody that's better than these trash heaps they're throwing on the mound every single day. Like, I'd rather sit in the corner of my house and punch myself in the junk for a half an hour to watch three innings of Red Sox baseball.
Okay, it's so ridiculous. Paul. Yeah, so Paul, I'm not going that far. And I'd advise you not to hurt yourself. But I'm not trading everyone away. I'm sorry, I'm not. there are some valuable pieces on this team. So I'm keeping Bogarts. He's my centerpiece. I'm keeping Devers. I'm keeping Vasquez unless someone absolutely knocks me over. In theory, you will have Sale back at some point next year, although that one is, you know, certainly going to be difficult. I'll try to improve my pitching during the offseason on the free agent market. I want to draft somebody high in the draft next year with whatever pick I get, ideally in the top two. So those are the things I would put an emphasis on. And then if you can trade off some of the other pieces, you want to move Benintendi to a team that says, well, we'll give you something for Benintendi because he's got 3 years of service left, then fine. I would think about dangling Benintendi out there, no question about it. But a lot of the other pieces, fine. Yeah, I'll move those. I'm keeping the centerpiece guys, though. Remember, they have a lot of money, and they have some good guys in the middle of that lineup that should hit. That should. Including J.D. Martinez, who, to me, has been one of the real big disappointments on this team. Talk about someone who didn't show up. We'll get to him after Murray gets you caught up on headlines.
Now, more hot takes on a short season. It's the Baseball Reporters on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
As you know, Benintendi knows what he's seen already, that he can get a good jump. He can get a good jump off this guy. He's a very, very, very deliberate to home plate. But you got to be sure. You can't be thrown out at second base with J.D. Martinez at the plate.
Or first.
One or the other.
1-2 from Curtis. Runner goes. Here's the throw down. And he's out. J.D. striking out at home plate. So that's a strike him out, throw him out, double play.
Another strikeout for J.D. Martinez. That's 16 if you're counting. 16 strikeouts, 14 hits.
At least he put the bat on. At least he went up to the batter's box.
Forearm, yeah, you mean he took a swing, Jimmy, or he tried?
Yeah, he tried.
Stepped into the batter's box.
Do we still know the answer to your questions?
Yeah. I don't know. Does anyone ask yet? J.D. Martinez, anyone ask why he wouldn't pinch
Roche hit? About this.
Anyone asked? Does J.D. Martinez, why he didn't pinch hit in that game 10 days ago, whenever it was? Have we got an answer to that yet? I told you I'm not letting it go. I'm not letting it go. I'm going to ask it every night all year long. Does J.D. Martinez want to play yet? How about this guy? Huh, interesting. J.D. Martinez in 2013 had a 650 OPS with the Houston Astros. That's when they released him. 650 OPS. Starting in 2014 when he got to Detroit, his OPSs have been 912. Boy, that's a big jump, huh? 650 to 912. Wow. 650 to 912. Then, subsequent years, 879 in 2015, 1,018 in 2016, or is that 17? Whatever, I'm getting them mixed up. Let me start again. 650, his final year in Houston. And then 912, 879, 908, 1,018. That was in Detroit in 2017. Then he went to Arizona and had 1,107 OPS in the second half of that season. Then he came to Boston, 1,031 and 939. This year, the number is 691.
Oh, it's because they took the iPad away from him, don't you know?
So is that what it is, the video?
It might be.
Or is it the humidor? The humidor at Fenway Park now that's taking the life out of the ball?
Could be that, too.
Because I read that the drag, remember that the big story last year was the drag on the baseball wasn't the same because the seams were smaller and the ball would get in the air and the ball would fly. I read the same story that I read in The Ringer last night indicated that the drag on the baseball is back where it was in 2018. Well, that year he had 1,031 OPS. This year it's 691. So is it the humidor? Is it the iPad? Or is it that he doesn't give a crap? Is it that he's not trying? That's what I think.
All right, if he was as good a hitter as he likes to think that he is, and those numbers have backed it up at times, it shouldn't really matter. So for the numbers to drop precipitously the way that they did, it kind of reeks of a guy that just doesn't kind of give an F.
I mean, that's what I think. I think J.D. Martinez is mailing it in this year. That's what I think. Jesse in Easton has a bone to pick with me, apparently. Go ahead, Jesse.
Yeah, yeah. So first off, it's banner season at the Trop. Go Rays, go.
And second, you complaining about the shift. You sound like John Harbaugh complaining about Belichick in the divisional round game with all the formations. Sound like a baby. And if I'm a manager, namely Kevin Cash or whatever, and these hitters are hitting so poorly into the shift, I'm going to keep on putting the shift out there until they learn to hit the ball the other way.
Okay, so Jesse, don't hang up. I agree with you. Okay, and I used to feel this way for a long time. That the best way to deal with the shift is to just hit the ball the other way. And if you do that enough, then teams won't shift anymore. I happen to believe that, except you know what? Teams aren't stopping. Teams are still shifting. And so, in fact, the numbers are going up and up and up. And with all this new stuff in baseball now about launch angle and driving the ball and everything else, teams are telling guys hit over the shift. And so that is leading to a worse product. So let me ask you this. When they have an illegal defense in football or in the NBA or in hockey, the scoring goes down, what do they do?
Do they change the rules?
They change the rules. Thank you. So there you go. So you know what? Outlaw the shift. In a perfect world, they would do what you said. I agree with you. In a perfect world, the hitters would adjust and they'd hit the ball the other way. That's what they would do, except the hitters are stupid, and managers now are stupid. The analytics guys are stupid. They all believe that the better thing to do is hit the ball over the shift. So now the shifts are up to 35%, and you know what? Fine, you'd say, wow, that's not as bad as I thought. I thought it was like 50%. Fine, but here's the part that should alarm you. Shifts have been exploding for years, and they've doubled in the last 2 years. So they are growing exponentially. It won't be long before everybody is shifting on every pitch of every at-bat. Ryan's in Andover on Jose Peraza. I think I know what he wants to get to, and it's worth discussing. Go ahead, Ryan.
Okay, so thanks for having me on. As pitiful of a season as it is, it's always a pleasure. I just don't understand, Bloom is known for kind of finding these diamonds in the rough and these values, but it's Jose Peraza, who's the most miserable baseball player I've seen in the last decade, the absolute best they could do at second. But also, before you hang up, I actually do agree with a couple callers ago. I would blow everything up on the team other than Bogarts. He's a bona fide star, and somehow he's still getting better and better. But even Devers, he's shaky. He's inconsistent. I don't know what he is for sure. So what do you think?
Yeah, Ryan, I'm not trading Rafael Devers. He's left-handed, he's got power, he's cheap, and last year he was one of the best hitters in the game. There's no way I'm doing that. As for Peraza, he says he's one of the worst baseball players he's ever seen. His defense sucks. Holy crap, is he bad in the field. Wow. I didn't realize he was this bad a second baseman. He blows. Wow, does he stink. Holy crap. So this is why the guy was available. And this is what it is now at second base, right? This is what it is, that typically you want some offense at the position now. So what happens? You got a guy out there who can't play the position. He sucks at it. I'm just looking this up on FanGraphs. Of the 46 second basemen in the major leagues this year who have played 50 innings, Jose Peraza ranks 42nd out of 46 guys. 42nd.
Seems high.
In defense. He blows. He blows defensive. Boy, does he suck. And look, again, there's a little bit of offense there when he gets hot. Me and he had a 290 average or something a couple of years ago somewhere, Cincinnati maybe. But watching him in the field, he cannot catch a cold. Oof, no wonder he was available. And this is the thing with the Tampa players. Remind yourselves of this. The people that are interested in this whole Tampa model, all of their players have flaws. It works against bad competition. When they play good teams and get in the playoffs, they lose. So Tampa hasn't won a World Series yet. So let's not go putting the whole Tampa model yet into some sort of state where it needs to be replicated and repeated. It's what they have to do down there because they don't have money. But when you have good players, you typically win against good teams and good competition. And at the end of the day, Tampa doesn't. So Overall, has Tampa had success with pitching? Yes, and I hope that's ultimately what they rely on Bloom for here. And maybe ultimately they'll go out and get themselves or have a bad enough season where they can get themselves a high pick and draft a pitcher at the top of the first round next year. And remember, the fallout of that is not necessarily bad either, because after you get the first pick of the first round, you're the first or second pick, you get it in the second round and the third round. So effectively what you're doing relative to where the Red Sox have picked in other years when they've been down near the end of these rounds, their second round pick almost becomes a late first, if you follow me. Like, they really get bonus picks all the way across. Of course, what they have to do is hit on them, which, as Jimmy Stewart points out, they could easily screw up because the Red Sox have a knack for screwing up these sorts of things. But the idea of building it through the draft and going out and get some players now and completely tanking this season, oh my gosh, it's on the table.
And also, don't get caught cheating so you lose draft picks.
So this year they did. They lost a second rounder, Jimmy. They already paid the price on that one. So that's the good news. Think of that. What if the penalty had come in the 2021 draft and they took away a first and you were going to suck and not get a first on top of it?
Bone City.
Like, but couldn't you see that? Like, couldn't you have seen it unfolding that way?
Oh, sure.
As badly as things have gone for the Red Sox in the last year plus, I could have seen it unfolding that way. Totally. So look, I know it's sad. I'd love to be able to tell you and spin it in a positive way where I could convince you that they had something to play for. And for a little bit there, I thought they had a chance of finishing second. Then they show up at home and they start losing like crazy again. And now they have the second worst record in baseball. The Red Sox. Not even two years, after winning 108 games during the regular season and winning 119 overall, they have now the second worst record in baseball. Tell me how this isn't exactly a replica of what happened with Dave Dombrowski and the Tigers in Detroit. Boy, that thing came apart fast, didn't it?
Yeah, we were warned about this very thing, too, from people that were Tigers fans or that had watched Dave Dombrowski's career, that this very thing was probably going to happen.
Feels like a good thing to discuss on tomorrow's show.
He's the monorail guy from The Simpsons, Jimmy.
Monorail.
Monorail.
You know, I would love to see how quickly the Tigers fell off there, because they do. I think Dombrowski really has outdone himself here. Wow, talk about a rapid descent. 2 years ago, they won 108 games. They won 119 counting the playoffs. They beat everyone in their path. Now, they're chasing the Pirates for the number one pick. It's unbelievable. You couldn't make this crap up.
Ben Charrington's really? Pirates, by the way, so you know he can draft and develop.
Oh, my gosh, really incredible. We'll wrap it up on the Baseball Reporters next.
This is the Baseball Reporters with Tony Mass on 98.5. This is the show that's all about baseball. The Baseball Reporters with Tony Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Adam Jones coming up top of the hour along with Tim McBone. In with him here tonight. I should say Hockey Jones.
That's right. It's Hockey Jones now. Bruins in three.
Hockey Jones here at 7. I'm sure he'll be talking about the Bruins game. Bruins were 4-3 winners over the Carolina Hurricanes in overtime in game one of their Eastern Conference playoff series. They'll play game two tomorrow night. You can hear it right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub, as always. So I just want to touch base on this. I said this earlier at the beginning of the show, and I want to read you the part of the story that I remember. So, and this relates to the quality of the product in Major League Baseball. The quality of the product, independent of the Red Sox, who suck and are in contention for the number one pick. The overall quality of the product in the game, even in the places where teams are winning. Listen to this paragraph from the story I read in The Ringer last night. And again, so I told you, strikeouts are still going up. Remember, pitchers aren't hitting anymore. In the National League, pitchers used to bat,
right?
And they struck out a lot. So strikeouts are up this year and the pitchers aren't batting anymore. So there's that fact to consider too. But let me read you this paragraph. Despite the addition of the National League DH, hitters have struck out in 23.7% of their plate appearances so far, up from 23% last season. That isn't so surprising considering the sports strikeout rate has risen now for 14 straight summers. Strikeouts have gone up for 14 straight years. The story goes on. What is surprising is MLB's batting average on balls in play, 276. Now, that's not regular batting average. That's batting average on balls in play. Okay, so in other words, any ball that it requires fielding, the average is 276. Your overall batting average takes into account strikeouts, things of the like. But anyway, let me continue. 276 down from 298 in 2019. So usually balls in play, the batting average is going to be around 300. Last year it was 298. Now it's 276. Thanks to that drop, the league as a whole is batting 230 is the major league average. 230. 7 points lower than it did, Murray, during 1968, the year of the pitcher. So the batting average right now in Major League Baseball is 7 points lower than the 1968 season in which Bob Gibson posted a 1.12 ERA.
So this isn't about the rest of the majors struggling as bad as the Red Sox. It's just this is how the game is played now.
The game blows.
It's terrible.
The game blows. So again, the overall average is 230. The last time that happened, that it was this low, they lowered the mound because they deemed it to be unfair. It's the one thing baseball has done in terms of changing the game where they said, this is not right, we got to fix this. And they fixed it. And they lowered the mound, and so the ball didn't come in at such an angle. But now you have a preponderance of breaking balls. Look at the Red Sox. That's all they do is throw curves because the whole idea is they want the ball going downhill because if you're going to swing with this launch angle thing, the tougher ball to hit is the ball that's breaking down. Okay? So 1968, the average compared to this year was, it was 7 points higher. 7 points higher. And you can justify this however you want. Humidors, the bottom line is the game on the field sucks. Even in the places where they're winning, it sucks. So it's easy to dump on it here because the Red Sox are wretched. But the quality of the product, incredibly, is getting worse. It's getting worse. So Adam Jones coming up again with Tim McBone. Sorry, Hockey Jones coming up next. Murray will update you on all the latest, including specifics from the Bruins' victory over the Carolina Hurricanes today. We'll see you tomorrow.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.